be our text. I'll say it again. I love you all, and it's a joy to be with you every time that I can. And I appreciate your prayers and love you show me every time I come. And it's a joy. Had a wonderful meal. I got a meal in a car. Lord knows all about that, but thank you all. So grateful. In a few minutes, I just want to share four thoughts with you. God's method of communication to us. God wants to speak to us. Amen. And the first way that God communicates is His Word. And I don't care where you open the Bible. Everything from Genesis to Revelation is relevant for the believer. I can remember when I started studying the Bible in Genesis and realized that when God spoke, something happened. And if you want something to change in your life, let God speak to you. You go back to Genesis, He divided, you know, light from darkness. He'll do the same thing in your heart. He'll teach you what's right and what's wrong. He named everything the proper name. You know, the world will say homosexuality is fine, but God's real clear. Marriage between a man and a woman. You need this book to speak to us. Amen? And it'll instruct you. God names things. He divides things. He puts lines on things. Amen? You and I have got to learn to put some lines on some things. The world says cross them, but God says don't cross them. Stay within the lines. I've put those. And so in Jeremiah chapter 26, verse 4, the Bible says, "And thou shalt say unto them," God's got something to say to you and me. "Thus saith the Lord." Now, this is not man's word. This is words from the Lord who created you. He's a mighty God, as we spoke this morning. He's got something in your life that He wants to bring out. Also, He has some things that He wants to reveal to us. May I remind you that you'll never know who you are until God reveals it in the mirror of His Word. I mean, when God speaks to you inside of your heart, you're going to say, "Boy, He nailed that. Boy, He's right." And God, the Word will let you see the end of sin. See, the devil, he'll dazzle you. He'll get you on the wrong road thinking that there's a payday to sin. Well, the payday is true, but it's not a good payday. Sin hurts, not just you, but others. Sin destroys. Amen? God's Word will always be honest with you. Devil's nothing but a... we need help. My emotions could lead me in the wrong direction. I can't live a life based upon emotions. I need truth. And God will help me to be an overcomer if I'll focus on the truth. And then He'll teach you. He wants you to know there's a difference between belief and unbelief. It's all through the Bible. Folks say, "Well, you know, it's not a big deal that I don't believe." It's a real big deal. You can't see heaven without belief. You can't walk in faith without belief. You can't have God's blessings without belief. So in Jeremiah, he's setting this thing up because he wants Israel to be blessed, and he's trying his best to communicate with them. If you're in a marriage, do I need to say it? You got to learn to communicate. And if you're going to be in a relationship, communication's big. So if you're going to walk with God... Brian, you got anything you want to say? You got to learn to communicate. Now, your schedule's like mine. You got the same amount of minutes and hours. I don't know what else to tell you other than you're robbing yourself of what God has for you if you don't let Him whisper in the chambers of your heart. You need His help. You need His instructions. So in verse 5, he says... Or in verse 4, he says, "Thus saith the Lord, if ye will not hearken to me." What he's saying is there's ramifications if you don't hear what I got to say. He goes on to say, "To walk in my law, which I have set before you." Think about this, guys. We got the book. It's complete. Everything we need's right here. It deals with everything you and I will ever face. Verse 5, "To hearken to the words of my servants, the prophets, whom I sent unto you." Remember, Israel stoned them. They didn't embrace the word of God, and that's why they're in a mess today. You know folks that sit in church, but they don't let the word direct them. Sitting in church is wonderful, but you need more than just sitting in a padded pew. You got to develop an ear to hear what God has to say. God's got to give you a love for the word. Okay? So in verse 5, he says, whom I sent unto you, both rising up early and sending them, but ye have not hearkened. He says that multiple times. He said, I've tried to communicate with you, but you won't take time to heed what I've got to say. So think about that. How long has it been since you really allowed God's word to speak to you? Man, I can learn a lot from Noah. I can learn a lot from Enoch, Abraham. What do you get out of Abraham and Sarah when they got out of the word of God and said, Sarah said, let's help God out? Yeah, they sure did. But how many times have you done that? God, sit down, I got this. And the Lord says, this will be fun to watch. And then we just, you know, we never get it sometimes. God will never mess with you. He don't tease you. Amen? He tries to communicate to keep you out of danger. He reminds you and I there in Ezekiel 37, and this is just kind of a prophetic text, but it's exactly what he's going to do if you have your Bible. Look there. You're familiar with this. It's dealing with Israel, but it all goes back to his word. Israel will be reestablished one day. God says you're dead and scattered now, but there's going to be a time my word is going to enter into you and you're going to hearken unto my word and you will obey what I've said and great things will happen in Israel. I mean, the land is precious. The only problem is they need the right king. He's coming. Look what it says there in verse 7. So I prophesy as I was commanded. What's prophesied? Just the word of God, hearing what God has to say, whether it's past, present, or future. It's all good. Amen? It's appointed unto men. You haven't died yet, but he's telling you it's coming. And after death is judgment. What's the big deal? He's just telling you it's coming. You best prepare. He's saying right here in verse 7, so I prophesied as I was commanded, and as I prophesied, there was a noise. See that? And behold, a shaking, and the bones came together, bone to his bone. God's powerful. What sin has separated and destroyed, God's word can rebuild and restore. That's, if you just get that. Devil will always tell you you've got too bad of a past. But that's what grace is. Grace can pull together what sin has ruined. But it comes through the communication of the word of God. You take a vehicle into Daryl and say, Daryl, it's good luck, man. Here's the title. It ain't much. Daryl don't see what you see. He said, man, that's just a few bolts and nuts and a new piece and a little bit of paint and you'll never know. And then in 6 weeks, he'll call you and say, come here and look at it. And you'll look at it and go, where's it at? Right there. Well, that's not the same thing I brought in here. No. But when I got done with it, here's what it is. Does that make sense? We all are invited. Bring your mess to me. And let me communicate. Let me just do some changing. God's word will do a move in you. The old man is dying, but thank God we are new creatures. In Christ Jesus. Take your Bible to Acts, would you please? Look at verse chapter 19. Look, if you would please, at verse 20. So mighty grew the word of God and what? The devil will own areas in your life until you let him communicate and navigate you through them. Sin will hold you hostage. Sin will handcuff you. Lies will hold you back. But the word of truth will allow you to prevail. And God can strengthen you. We talked about that this morning. We can be strong in the Lord. But you can't be strong unless God communicates down in your inner chambers to let you know, hey, I'm on your side. I'm here to work on your behalf. Whether it's a marriage, whether it's finances, whether it's how to invest your time, your talents. God said, I can help you to get there quicker. 40 years, Israel went nowhere. Should have been a short journey. But they wouldn't let God communicate with them. He gave them the law, they wouldn't heed it. He gave them judges and they wouldn't heed it. He gave them prophets and they stoned them. God said, I've tried my best to communicate with you and you wouldn't heed what I had to say. I know them, you know them. I could be one of them. I know if I shut this book and never let God communicate and shine the light on my path, it wouldn't take long for Dave Frazee to be in trouble. Because I can be, all of us can be misled. So I want to encourage you, God's got a method to communicate with you, and it starts with his word of God. Look at Ephesians, if you would, please, chapter 6. Look at verse 17. Take the helmet of salvation and the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God. You realize the sword is an offensive weapon. Everything else is a protective. But the sword is, let's go forward. Let's prevail. Let's march on. Amen. And so the idea is, man, faith is action. Faith is, yes, everything's decaying and dying, but thank God I'm alive and well. Amen? Well, the soul winning don't work anymore. Baloney. Revival's a thing of the past. Baloney. Nobody wants to hear the gospel. I don't believe that. I still see folks saved, don't you? If you're not careful, if you get out of this book and God quits communicating to you, you'll start believing the lies that the devil throws at you. Amen. Samson evidently thought he could play with sin and get by with it, but he didn't. You and I think, well, I can rob God of my tithe and offering. He'll never know. You better get in the book. You're setting yourself up for failure. So I want to encourage you and I both. God has a method to communicate with you, and it starts with his King James Bible. Please open it. Please read it. It's a gift for you. It'll help you think straight as a daddy, as a husband. I mean, after all, you're the captain of the ship. If you think you can navigate through all this terrain and rocks that are out there, you're foolish. You need divine help. We need it in our marriages. We need it in our homes. We need it with our money. Listen, it's all through the Bible. God will help you prioritize what needs to be prioritized. And I hope you'll do it. Here's a second method. He'll speak to you and I, the believer, through prayer. Number one, prayer helps to crucify the flesh. I mean, anytime you address God, your Father, and you take the word of God and you begin to hear from him, here's what he's going to be asking you. Are you willing to give that to me? It's the Holy Spirit of God that will help you to pray. The Holy Spirit is the author of this book. So the more you and I communicate with God, the more that we're saying, God, you help me to pray. See, whenever you get in the Word of God, you'll learn to pray for the things that he wants you to pray for. And the Holy Spirit will begin to prompt you, ask for this. Remember what we read in the scripture? Ask for this. I mean, when you pray in the Holy Ghost, it's not this mumble-gumble stuff. It's praying under the leadership of the Holy Spirit in your life. It's the Holy Spirit wants to get you where God saved you to go. I'm not talking about heaven. I'm talking about your spiritual life to move to victory. And the Holy Spirit will coach you through. He's the best coach you'll ever have. You ever see a team break a press? It's really fun to watch. A lot of times the ball never hits the floor. You think, man, I'm going to dribble my way through it. Wrong answer. Don't dribble, pass. And you can be up in the stand, you think, man, that was pretty. a matter of seconds, the ball traveled the whole floor and it's in the basket. But if you don't have a coach that knows how to break the press will what? It'll break you. That's a fact. You don't think the devil has some methods of taking you down? You better believe he does. So you need a spiritual enlightenment that comes from the communication of God's word. You need a coach inside of you that when you get a hold of God, he can get you thinking and prompt you to ask for the right things. James says you have not because you ask, you don't even know what you're asking for. Once the Holy Spirit can take you through his warehouse and say, this belongs to you. You can ask for this. God can give this to you. You can make this work. This can go forward. See, when you start thinking right, renew your mind. I don't have time for the book. Well, you took a step backwards. So he wants to communicate with a believer through prayer. All of us face circumstances. God sometimes will allow circumstances to get you on your knees. God can speak to you through prayer. Number one, to crucify the flesh. Number two, to take a good look at your surroundings. Sometimes God humbles us through circumstances. Pride will get you and I to a place where we don't see that we need God. Bad, bad, bad decision. I need him every day. Isn't there a song like that? Every hour. That's even better. I need thee every hour. You know, it don't take long to make a big mess up. And you know what? You face the consequences forever. And you and I would say, oh, if I could just go back. And we can't. I want to encourage you, God's got a method to communicate. It's through the word of God. It's through time of prayer. God, I need your help. I'm asking for your help. Lord, remind me of what I've studied. God, you know what I'm facing. You know the people that I'm with. God, you know the temptation that's before me. Talk to him. Listen, he wants to help you. He's the best coach you'll ever have. If you take your Bible, please, and look at Philippians chapter 1. And look, if you would, at verse 3. Bible says, I thank my God upon every remembrance of you, always in every prayer of mine for what? For you all, making requests with joy for your fellowship in the gospel from the first day until now, being what? How do you get confidence? Jimmy, I get it when I see how big God is. If I don't see God big, I don't ask for big things. If I don't see that God's able, I won't even approach him. Does that make sense? God's got to show you in your heart that I'm able to do this. I mean, don't the Bible say all grace is available? All of our the sufficiency is all in Christ. Don't it say that? So many times the devil tries to get you and I to take up our problems, but listen, we'll fail. But not if we let him help us. Now look what he says so we can move on. Being confident of this very thing, that he which begun a good work in you will what? Until the day of Jesus Christ. Even as it is meet for me to think this of you all, because I have you in my heart, in as much as both in my bonds and the defense and confirmation of the gospel, ye are the partakers of my grace. For God is my record, how greatly I long after you in all the bowels of Jesus Christ. That's love and tenderness, the word bowels. And this I pray, that your love may abound yet more. More in what? Knowledge and in all judgment. What he's saying is get a clear picture of who he is and what he can do. If we lose our vision, we lose our future. If the devil snaps from you or snags away who God is in your heart, folks, listen, you're heading down a wrong path. So he reminds you and I that he can communicate through prayer. Here's the third one. He can talk to you and I through the Holy Spirit. There's nothing any sweeter when you hear that voice inside. No one else hears it, but you hear it because he lives in us. Bible reminds you and I in Romans 8:26. Just look there for a minute so you can get this. Romans 8:26. Likewise, the Spirit also what? Now listen to me, guys. You think, oh, this is crazy. No, this ain't crazy. This will help you from falling. Look what he says in verse 26. Likewise, the Spirit also helpeth our infirmities, for we know not what we should pray for as we ought, but that the Spirit itself maketh intercession for us with groanings which cannot be what? Utter. Look at verse 27. He that searcheth the hearts knoweth what is in the mind of the Spirit, because he maketh intercession for the saints according to the will of God. The Word of God will direct us in the will of God, and then when the will of God is clear, then we begin to ask the right things. Come on, guys. Your children are small, and they ask for ridiculous things, and the only thing you do is pat them on the head, and you'll never say it, but you think, oh, you poor child. You know, well, I want to drive that car. You can't even reach the pedal. Kids will ask silly things. You don't think you ask crazy things when you don't know who you're talking to and what he's capable of doing. You'll ask crazy things because you don't have the proper discernment of the Word of God. So what I'm just trying to get you to see, God says, I can speak to you. The Holy Spirit will aid you. Colossians 2:13, which things also we speak, not in the words which man's wisdom teaches, but which the Holy Ghost teaches. See, there's a big difference from what you get at Kentucky University and Marshall University and then what God gives you. I mean, our government offices are full of philosophy of man's ways, secular, modern ways. And you scratch your head thinking, are you kidding me? What? That's what they've been taught. But you and I go beyond man's mind, and we get in the Word of God and let the Spirit of God teach us. That's why there's a great division between, you know, two parties. It's completely two different answers because there's two different sources. One's from the flesh and one's from the Spirit of God. It's not going to get better. It ought to be divided more. Why did they hate Christ? He did nothing wrong but help and heal and save. Because the system was bad. You think our system's bad today? If you think you can live for Christ and they're going to embrace and help us and throw a parade for Landmark Baptist Church, you aren't reading what I'm reading. It's going to get worse, and that helps me. So when you turn the news on, you think, what in the world's going on? You're reading it right there in Colossians. He's telling you, you got man's wisdom, and then you got the Holy Ghost wisdom. Comparing spiritual things with spiritual. There's no need for the believer to be defeated. He can yield his body and the spirit by faith and overcome the old nature. The spirit of life will empower him. The spirit of death will enable him to overcome the flesh. So, in that helps me in the day that I live in, Daryl, to think, you know, the world ain't gonna like me. If I take any stand, if I get any of my information from the Word of God, taught through the Spirit of God, and I line up to this stuff, I will not be accepted out there. So a lot of times, Muncie will preach, and you think, I don't like what he's saying. Well, a lot of times when the Spirit speaks, it ain't real fun. But it's the right stuff. You know, if you take a stand against homosexuality, I mean, the majority of the people is going to say, you know what, you're just like those old Bible thumpers. Yeah, probably true. And there's churches everywhere that'll have a woman behind the pulpit. Bible's pretty clear. It'll have a homosexual behind the pulpit. And everybody applauds it. God don't applaud it. So what I'm saying is we're not here to be hugged on and loved. Because if you and I allow the Spirit of God to communicate with us, it's going to take us a different direction. You understand what I'm saying? Lastly, God speaks to us through preaching. Acts 5:20, go stand and speak in the temple of the people all the words of life. That's why we come to church. Amen. We need it. We need Sunday school. And I want to encourage you, get to Sunday school. Make it a habit because, you know, you learn stuff. And, you know, be faithful throughout the week because we need preaching. Bible says in 2 Timothy 4:2, preach the word, be instant in season, out of season. Reprove, rebuke, exhort with all longsuffering and doctrine. And I've just learned, you know, a good preaching will either make you mad or make you better. Honestly, there's a time I didn't like it because it'll call you out. But you know, a state trooper's not liked. We want him when someone's robbing us. We just don't want him when we're breaking the law. And it's kind of like God, you know. We want to use the house of God when we get married. Can we come and use your church? Yeah, but I need to talk to you as a pastor. What are you going to talk about? Well, there are certain commandments in the Word of God that I got to honor. We don't care about, we want the building. We kind of do God that way. God, we want you, but don't mess with what I'm doing. As a nation and as an individual. But you know what? That's not the proper way to address someone you love. So sometimes God's going to cut deep. And you got to take it. And sometimes he's going to prune. You know what prune means? I mean, they can cut the dead stuff. You'll never know. But when he gets down to where it's quick, it hurts. You ever, you know, got to get stitches? It's no fun. But you know that you got to take the pain to be healed. So you say, stitch it up. What I'm saying is this Bible is for me and you. God said, I want to communicate with you through this book, through prayer. Amen. And I'll talk to you if I have to through circumstances. Some way, somehow, I want you to know what I've got to say to you. And the only thing I'm trying to encourage you to do is don't turn him off. Because there could be some danger ahead of you and he's just trying to warn you. If you don't get what he's going to get to say, you're going to get it the hard way. Amen? So, embrace this book. If you'll love this book will love you back. It really will. I've said it probably here many times, but I've read it. It helped me. I carry this Bible to church like you do. But have you ever let this book carry you throughout life? David, why did you do that? Well, because that's what God's word says. Why don't you do that? Well, God warns me not to. Amen? Why don't you cuss, Brian? We all cuss. You know, you ever hear that? You know, I don't ever hear you say a bad word. Yeah. You know, when your heart's dirty, it's going to come out. But when God cleans it up in here, you're a better daddy. You love deeper. You're more patient. There's a thing called fruit of the Spirit. What's some of the traits of fruit of the Spirit? Your love, peace, long-suffering, joy. Everything that we try to get elsewhere, and it's fake, it's imitation, am I right? But when God gives it to us through his book, it's real. So church, I want to encourage you. That book's for me and you. Read it, study it. And just allow God to put his arms around you and love on you because he'll be your best friend. What a companion. There's no better companion that we could ever have than this book with the author speaking to us to move us closer to him. Heads are bowed, eyes are closed. Pastor's going to come. He'll take care of the invitation.